Welcome to a Juno Afternoon on Monday, October 2nd, 2017. I'm your host, Scott Burton. It's good to have you with us. As always, on today's show, Colleen James will discuss Indigenous Peoples Day. We'll get an update on all things Perseverance Theater. Police Chief Ed Mercer will discuss JPD activities. We'll talk with Ashley Heimbigner, our development specialist here at KTOO, about new member month. And Chef Steph will be here to discuss Juno Appreciation Week at the Juno Artist Gallery. Those interviews, National Native News, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note Music, and more right here live and local on a Juno Afternoon. Currently 49 degrees here in the capital city.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The South Dakota U.S. Attorney has announced 16 additional indictments in the underground trafficking of eagles and other migratory birds in South Dakota. That brings the total number of defendants to more than 30 in the two-year project Dakota Flyer Undercover Operation, Lee Strubinger reports.
United States Attorney Randy Seiler says around 240 eagles, 150 hawks, and migratory birds from every continent in the world except Antarctica were discovered during the Project Dakota Flyer operation. These additional defendants are from North and South Dakota, Nebraska, and Idaho in both native and non-native communities. Seiler says eagle feathers and other bird parts were being sold on the black market and in pawn shops across South Dakota.
Whether you engage in black market trafficking for profit as an individual or as a business, we're going to charge you and hold you responsible and accountable.
Seven pawn shops and employees are included in the latest round of indictments, ranging from Rapid City to Mobridge. Seiler says the project is a bittersweet one.
You know, we were not pleased with the intensity and the extensiveness of the black market trafficking for profit. And based upon that, we extended the undercover operation and looked at it at various points in terms of whether it should continue or not. And as long as we were decisively engaged in identifying individuals who were black market traffickers, we continued the program, the project.
Seiler says Project Dakota Flyer is done for the time being, but he says they plan on using any additional information they gather to further uncover traffickers of eagle parts. For National Native News, I'm Lee Strubinger in Rapid City, South Dakota.
Many people are using social media to check in with family and friends to let them know they're safe, including people from tribal communities, after Sunday's deadly shooting on the Las Vegas Strip. People from Indian country are among those visiting the city this week to attend a global gaming conference. Facebook has activated a safety check-in. Users can check themselves in to let their families on the social media site know about their whereabouts and condition. The social media network has also used safety check-ins for natural disasters such as the recent hurricanes. As travelers from Indian country make their way to Las Vegas, the National Indian Gaming Commission is exploring options to help people with logistics and support. In a Facebook post Monday morning, the National Indian Gaming Commission extended condolences to victims and families impacted by the shooting. In an early Monday morning press conference, law enforcement reported hundreds of injuries and at least 50 people killed who were attacked at a country music concert. The 64-year-old male suspect is also dead. Police say he shot and killed himself. U.S. senators on the Indian Affairs Committee have introduced legislation to reauthorize a tribal housing bill. The Native American Housing Assistance and Self-Determination Act includes reauthorizing programs for tribal housing needs, loans, and assisting homeless veterans in Indian country. Tribal leaders and Native housing organizations are among those in support of the legislation. The bill was first passed in 1996 to help with safe and affordable housing for Native Americans. A companion bill has also been introduced in the House. U.S. Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski's office says two Alaska school districts have been awarded Native language education grants. The Anchorage School District and the Yukon-Koyukuk School District will receive grants through the newly developed Native American and Alaska Native Language Immersion Schools program. The program is intended to help schools, tribes, and Native organizations create or expand language immersion programs. Plans for the education grants include creating curriculum, providing professional development, and publishing digital story books. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service.
Support by AARP. What we do might surprise you, like hosting the 9th annual AARP Oklahoma Indian Elders Honors Celebration on October 3rd. Information at aarp.org. And by the law offices of Sanofsky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller, and Monkman, a national tribal rights law firm with offices in Washington, D.C., New Mexico, California, and Alaska.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
You are listening to a Juno Afternoon on Monday, October 2nd, 2017. Scott Burton, your host today in the studio now. With me is Colleen James. She is the coordinator of the Native and Rural Student Center out at UAS, and we're going to be talking about Indigenous Peoples Day a week from today. Is that right, Colleen?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. So exciting. So exciting. So Monday, October 9th. Across all three campuses, Ketchikan, Juneau, and Sitka, we will be hosting some pretty cool events. We're collaborating with our local Native organizations. And I invite the community to join all of us at all three campuses. And I'm going to talk a little bit about what's going to happen in Juneau. So exciting.
Yeah. So what time do things get going on Monday?
Okay, so for the Juneau campus, we kick off Indigenous Peoples Day at 10:15 a.m. in the Egan Library Writing Center. The title of the session is Stories of Deer, with author, Alaska State Writer Laureate, and UAS Professor Ernestine Hayes. 1 to 2 p.m. in the Native Memorial Student Center, we'll be celebrating food sovereignty, and we'll feature deer. So people can come out and sample some deer stew with us. And then at 3:30 to 5 in the Glacier View Room, Bronze and Paper, Monuments and Policy from a Decolonial Perspective, with authors and UAS professors Lance Twitchell and Robin Walls. The session questions the glorification of conquerors and emphasizes Indigenous heritage and rights. And so come and join these conversations. And then we'll take our Indigenous Peoples Day event down to Elizabeth Pradovich Hall, and we're collaborating with Central Council, Tlingit N'haida, from 6 to 8 p.m. And there we'll host an Indigenous Peoples Day panel discussion. We'll have a traditional foods demonstration, and then a traditional dance group performance by Wu Shi'in, which is my husband's and my dance group. Pretty excited about that.
Which will also be playing with the Tribe Called Red, by the way.
Oh my gosh.
October 19th, Thursday of Centennial.
Yes, I can't even stop grinning about that. We're really fortunate that Tribe Called Red is coming to Alaska, and they've got a few concerts or performances in Anchorage, and they are coming to Juneau to do a performance down at Centennial Hall on October 19th. And if you're a student in the school district or a student at UAS, it's $5 a ticket. To the rest of the public, I think it's like $35 a ticket. It's so worth it. So worth it.
And there's going to be a lot more on that soon.
Yes, a lot more.
But you're going to also be performing at the Elizabeth Pratchovich Hall, right?
Yes.
On Monday night.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yep. We'll be
wow.
performing and celebrating the day. This is an inaugural day. The governor signed this in last year during the session, Indigenous Peoples Day. And then our president, Johnson, he also declared that Indigenous Peoples Day would be celebrated the second Monday of every October for the rest of our UA existence. So that's pretty exciting. This particular Indigenous Peoples Day, we have faculty and staff at all three campuses pulling together the programs. And like I mentioned earlier, we are working with our local tribes. So come and join us for some good conversations about decolonization and the importance of Indigenous Peoples Day.
Colleen, if people want more information about this Where should they go? And there are a lot of great times and lectures and places to be. Where can they see more?
Yes. Oh, so you can go to our website at www.uas.alaska.edu/indigenous-day. And just FYI, if you are on Facebook, we'll be streaming from the Juneau campus. We'll be streaming our lectures. So if you can't join us out on campus, you can join us online.
We have just another minute here.
Okay.
You're one of the founders of Woosh Jean, is that right?
For our dance group, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit more about that and your participation in it.
Sure, yeah. So our dance group, my husband and I started this group probably about 14 years ago, coming up this April. And what's so special about this group is that Nora Downauer named our group and told us to start the group, and so we did, and 14 years later, we're here. We're a community dance group. We're made up of many nations, and just really appreciate all of the dancers who volunteer to be part of our dance group. Nobody gets paid, and it's so neat to watch. I think we've probably seen two generations, like, come through our dance group, so pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful. And again, you'll be part of the day at playing at the Elizabeth Pratchevich Hall and dancing. At what, about what time would you say?
Well, the event kicks off 6 to 8. I'm not really sure, actually.
So come for the whole thing.
Yeah, come for the whole thing. That's right. And they'll also be streaming. We have 26,000 registered tribal members. So people from all around the state, all around the country, all around the world could just tune in on the web. So,
and that's through UAS we'll be streaming, is that
this
correct?
This one, from 6 to 8, that'll be through the Central Council's website, through Click and Haida, and there'll be more information on that.
Okay. Colleen James, thank you so much for coming on the show. Is there anything we're missing or anything else you'd like to share?
No, our hearts go out to everyone around the world. There's so much going on in the world that our university, we send our light and love to everyone. There's lots of fundraisers happening. I encourage people to get involved. Get involved. Thank you.
Thank you. You're listening to a Juno Afternoon on Monday, October 2nd, 2017, 50 minutes past the top of the hour. Scott Burton, your host, in the studio with me now is Perseverance Theater, James Sullivan, and Sierra Trinche. And we're here to talk about what's going on over on the island in our local playhouse. Welcome to the show, you two.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you.
It's nice to have you here. Where do we start, James? Last Weekend of Deity, right?
That's right. The last weekend of The Elaborate Entrance of Chad Deity. It's a great play about wrestling. I know we've been here earlier this month before the show opened to talk about it. And all I can say is I've seen it three times myself, and I love it. And you should see it, because if you come to every other Perseverance play in the next 10 years, I guarantee none of them will be like this one. Because this one's one of a kind.
I've heard nothing but good about it.
It's a lot of fun.
Okay, and so when are your last performances?
This week we have the Juno Arts Night, or it's also the UAS Night, combined for this Wednesday at 7:30. There'll be a talk back at that one after the show, if you're interested. And then we also have the last performances are Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night, all at 7:30. And we also have a Saturday matinee at 2:00. And just so no one who's out there is used to things the way we've done things in the past, there is no Sunday matinee. You got to get there by Saturday or you missed it. So, yeah, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 7:30, and another Saturday at 2 o'clock for The Elaborate Entrance of Chad Deity.
And that's your last chance in Juno.
That's right. Our one and only. Probably our. I can't imagine us doing another wrestling play in the next few years, but who knows? Who knows? But it's a lot of fun. It is. It's just a blast.
All right.
But that's not all we got going on.
Young Company, right? Sierra, right. You want to tell us about it?
Sure. So the kids this year get to perform A Midsummer Night's Dream, which is a favorite for both Tom Robinault and I. He is directing, and I am assistant directing. They're performing this weekend, which is very exciting. They're performing at 5:30 on Friday, Saturday, and then Monday. And the Sunday performance is at 2:00.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Deity's closing, and will you all be up in the Phoenix Theater in the Black Box?
Yes.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yep. It's going to be a busy place.
It's packed. We're going to pack them in. Theater all day, all night.
And for our listeners who don't know what Young Company is, Sierra, tell us a little bit more about it. Who's participating? What's the process been like? That kind of stuff.
So Young Company is, I think of it as an after-school program, because usually we get the kids straight off the bus, straight from school. They rehearse for a couple of hours a day, a few days a week. We've been doing it for, a month or so. And it's a really, really great opportunity for them to get some experience with Shakespeare. They've been working on A Midsummer Night's Dream this whole time, and it's great. Some of the kids have never been in a show, and they're doing wonderfully. The ages are 10 to 17, so we've got a huge age range. It's great to watch kids from different schools get to know each other and form new bonds and get a new love for theater through Shakespeare, which is tough stuff for kids.
I bet. And is this a culmination this weekend? This is the final performance?
Yep.
Okay. Wow. It's the last chance for that, too.
That's right. We're packing it in. But Scott, we have some more things going on this month. At the end of the month, we'll open our next play on the main stage, Dreaming Glacier Bay. But before that, in the Black Box again, in the Phoenix Theater, we are doing another Shakespeare play, or plays. We're doing the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged. That is a 90-minute play condensing all of Shakespeare's work, the entire canon, and squeezing it into 90 minutes. So there'll be, love, revenge, murder, mayhem, and a happy ending, and maybe some wrestling. There'll be some craziness in that one, too. And that's also in October, and that opens Thursday, October 19th. And it's just going to run one weekend. It's the 19th, 20th, Saturday the 21st, and a Sunday matinee at 4 o'clock on the 22nd. And we're throwing a lot of dates and everything, but everything's on our website.
Sure, sure.
So,
and James, do you participate in this production?
I'm not working on this one.
Okay.
Officially. This is actually part of we're trying to create our Black Box series. We're going to do some plays, and these are going to be we created this so that individuals or some people who haven't done a lot of theater or you know, might not be able to fit into our main stage productions, but wanted to do a project or wanted to work on something. And we're opening the door so that some people can get together and say, let's do a show. Let's have some people at Perseverance help us put it together. The stage is there. It's, you know, we try and do some simpler things because it's in our black box in the theater space there. And, there'll be another one in the spring. I don't have those dates, but, if you're interested and if you said, hey, I want to do a show. I want to do something. I want to do some theater. And you're not currently cast in one of our shows, or maybe you want to do something a little different, a little off the wall, contact us at the theater. We're opening that black box again in the spring for another production. Nothing's been said yet, but it's just a good opportunity for people to get back into the swing of things at the theater.
Okay. And then Dreaming Glacier Bay, when does that open?
Friday, October 27th. And that is a great play also, written by a local writer, filmmaker, Joel Bennett. That's also this month, and I'm sure we'll come back and give you more details about that one, but put that on your calendar right now. They'll be running for, it opens the last weekend in October and then the first three weekends in November before Thanksgiving, and it's a wonderful play about a couple of Alaskans who have a very, very famous friend who comes to visit them every summer. And, I don't want to give anything away right now, but that'll be, like I said, we've got a lot going on in the theater that this month. It's a little crazy, but I like it that way. I like it a little hectic, but good.
But this weekend, Deity and Shakespeare, right? Mm-hmm. Midsummer Night's Dream, Young Company.
Yeah.
I'd go through all the times again, but you should probably just go to the website, right?
Can you give us the website? Yeah, exactly. I can't keep them straight. Just go to our website. But we've got a lot going on. Come on down. It's a lot of fun.
Great. Thanks, you too. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, that's it for now. Other than you make sure you get your tickets. And if you haven't gotten your tickets yet for the season, you can still subscribe. Don't miss out.
Oh, and the Young Company tickets are very affordable, especially if you're bringing kids. They're $10 for adults and $5 for kids.
Yeah. A special thing.
For your whole family. It's a family show.
I bet. Thank you, too.
Support for this programming is paid for by Rob for Assembly, P.O. Box 32754, Juneau, Alaska, 99803. Rob Edwardson, running for District 2 for City and Borough of Juneau Assembly in the October 3rd municipal election.
You're listening to a Juneau Afternoon on Monday, October 2nd, 2017. Scott Burton, your host. We're at the bottom of the hour in the studio now as culinary arts person, individual, cook, extraordinaire, chef, Steph. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Scott. How are you? Thank you for having me today.
Yeah, it's nice to have you with me. Love the shirt.
Thank you. I feel like a broken cassette tape sometimes.
Okay. Juneau Appreciation Week at the Juneau Artist Gallery. You are one of the featured artists there, right?
Well, all of the artists are featured artists this month. It is a Juneau appreciation to say thank you, Juneau, for being customers, for coming in, for visiting us. And everything this week from tomorrow through Saturday is 15% off. And I know a lot of artists this time of year puts other things of their art on sale, so sometimes things can be up to 75% off.
Where is the gallery for people that don't know?
It's in the Senate building behind the Bear's Lair. We're kind of in between the Bear's Lair and the stairs.
Okay, so if you're going down up South Franklin, kind of before you get to the clock there on your right.
Correct.
Okay. How many of you are there?
We have 21 artists, and we have a new member starting next month, but we have new members coming in, and it's exciting. And I always tell people, even if you've come all the time, keep coming back because we're one of a kind and everybody does things. There's new art often, and there's new artists often. And even myself, when I work a shift, and if I don't work, if I miss a week and it's the second week, there's something new or somebody changed something. It's always really exciting and fun to go in.
For somebody who hasn't been there, walk us in. What's the atmosphere like? What does it look like? Who's operating it? How many artists are there at any given time? What's it look like?
Well, on First Friday, a lot of the artists come and kind of show off their stuff, and we like to visit with folks. But when you first come in, there is always, always an artist on duty. It's a co-op, so we run it ourselves. So there's never a time. You might ask us a question about somebody's art, and maybe we don't know it, and it's not because, it's just because we don't know it. There's a lot of us with a lot of things. But we are all vested into the gallery because we're all owners.
Okay. And give us an example of some of the art that you might see as you walk through.
There is when you first walk in, there's photography and jewelry. There's beadwork, beautiful, beautiful beaded jewelry. I'm in that front area, so all the Chef Steph caramels, and there's shortbread coming back because last week was the official start of shortbread season. You didn't know there was an official shortbread day, did you?
Did not. I understand why there should be.
and there are more jewelry, stained glass, more photography. I know I'm going to miss you guys. I'm sorry if I miss you. There's pottery. Tom's Pots is there, and he's relatively new. And there are banners. And so there's it's not quite fabric art, but it's there's wall art and three-dimensional art and big pieces and small pieces. There's an artist who paints on canvas that's 2x3. And just pretty much if you are looking for woodworking, if you're looking for something, you can find something for everybody.
And it's never too early to start thinking about the holidays.
Certainly not. Certainly not. And with 15% off.
Of locally made art.
Locally made art, yes.
All right. And again, it starts tomorrow?
It starts tomorrow.
Tuesday?
Yes. We are open 11 to 6 and close Sunday, Monday.
Okay.
So please come
by. Basically tomorrow through Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
Until 6.
And if you come by tomorrow, keep coming in because I know I can speak for myself. My stuff isn't quite ready, but by First Friday, that'll be the big party, as always. More things will be coming. So I was frantically working on things, and throughout the week, people will be bringing in more stuff.
And indeed, this Friday is First Friday, so there will probably be several of you in there.
Yes, okay. we're all, and I know a bunch of us are baking. There's, this is the big snacky one too. I mean, we have good snacks, but this one, because it's all of us, I think people are stepping up a little bit more.
Right. Chef Steph, thanks for coming on the show. Are we missing anything?
No, but once again, Juno Artist Gallery, there's always an artist on duty. Come
all
and
right.
visit us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Support for this KTOO programming is provided by Jesse Keel, candidate for City and Borough of Juneau Assembly in the municipal election October 3rd. Paid for by Keel for Assembly, 535 Harris Street, Juneau.
You're listening to a Juneau Afternoon here on Monday, October 2nd, 2017. Scott Burton, your host. It's about 22 minutes until the top of the hour. And joining us in the studio now is Chief Ed Mercer, who many of you know was sworn in as our new police chief back in July of 2017. Chief Mercer, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Scott. Good to be here today.
It is nice to have you here. So before we get to the serious stuff, if somebody hasn't been listening to you on the airwaves yet, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I'm a born and raised Alaskan here in Southeast Panel, raised in Sitka, Alaska. Actually, I started my career over there back in the early 90s as a Sitka patrol officer, and decided to come over to the fine city of Juneau back in 2000, and I've been with the Juneau Police Department for 17 years now, and worked my way up through the ranks and file. I'm married. I have a wife who's Kelly, and three boys that live here, two of which actually graduated from high school, and one's in the Marine Corps right now, and the other one's going to college down in Arizona. And I have a younger one going to middle school here.
I bet you're busy.
I am busy. It's good busy, though, when it comes to family.
Yeah. So correct me if I'm wrong, but about 25 years on the force between Sitka and Juneau.
Correct, 25 years.
Born and raised here in Southeast.
Born and raised Southeast. I've always been partial to Southeast, growing up in the Southeast. I love the outdoors. I love hunting and fishing. And, I'm just used to the environment here in our region. I just love Southeast Alaska.
25 years, you must enjoy what you do.
Yeah, law enforcement profession is a very rewarding career. It's certainly, we see a lot of negativity, but I could tell you that we take those negativities and turn them into positive things in regards to how we impact people out there. And there's been cases through my career where I'll have an individual come up to me and thank me for changing their lives, or at least interacting with them in a manner, treating them with respect. And, that goes a long ways in our career when we have people come up to us and, extend their appreciation in that manner. You don't realize how much you impact people sometimes, especially as you move through the career.
Okay. All right, so what's on your radar right now at the department?
Well, what's exciting is, with Lieutenant Chris Sell retired at the end of September, and she's off enjoying her retirement as we speak. So we had to move forward with replacing her position, and we just got through with a lieutenant promotional process that we did internally, and we promoted an individual who's been with the agency for 15 years, and his name is Craig Campbell. And Craig's coming with us with quite a bit of experience. He's been a sergeant for a good period of that, a good portion of that time. He participates in our SWAT team. He's a very active member of our police department, so we're excited to have him on board, and he's going to be assigned to the patrol section of the agency, which is the largest section of the agency. What people see the face of the agency when they see our patrol division out there.
Yeah, I'm sure some of our listeners will recognize the name. He's been on the show before, as well as with our check-in with the department. So
I am very excited about having him on our leadership team.
Okay. So congratulations, Lieutenant Campbell. Yeah. And what's next?
Well, another thing that is exciting for us, 3 years ago we stood up a program called the Crisis Intervention Team Program, which is basically a program that helps us as police officers be better at dealing with individuals who are suffering from mental illness, being able to recognize those type of signs when we have contact with individuals. The good thing about the CIT program is that we are able to quickly sometimes recognize that if somebody's suffering or having an episode of a mental illness issue, and we could divert them to different resources, different partnerships. That's another nice thing about the CIT program is that, we partner with our mental health providers, our hospital here locally, and really get to interact with the family who sometimes feel at a loss with trying to address, family members who suffer from mental illness. So being able to come together and be able to do that is a good thing. Certainly, we don't want to go out there and criminalize somebody when they act out and do something bad. Maybe we could send them and divert them to a diversionary program where they get help for their mental illness.
Okay. Okay. Did I see an advertisement for a coffee social?
Yes, sir. As a matter of fact, you just reminded me of that. Thank you very much, Scott. October 4th, it's just coming up on Wednesday, we're going to be out at the Heritage over on Mall Road. We have been doing Coffee with a Cop for probably the last 2 years, and it's been very successful. We took a little break, and now we're doing it again, and we're going to have a patrol team over there who is actually going to be standing up the Coffee with a Cop event. It's going to be at October 4th, starting at 4 o'clock, 4 to 5. And, you know, what a great event for people to come out and interact with our police officers on a positive environment and just have talks and let us know what might be issues in their area.
And that's October 4th, 10-4 at 4 p.m.
Yes, right? 10-4. Yeah, there you go.
At Heritage by the Mendeno Mall, right?
Yes, correct.
And that's a great segue to recruitment, because I bet if somebody was interested in becoming a police officer, this would be a great place to go talk, right, to maybe one of your officers.
Certainly. I mean, face-to-face interaction, we find that sometimes word of mouth on recruitment is one of our strongest areas to go to within our community. So having Coffee with a Cop, if they want to come out there and interact with police officers and ask them questions about what it takes to be a police officer, what's the process they need to go through. Ever since I've been with this agency, we've always been recruiting. And, you know, I think it's more challenging in the day and age that we're in regards to people wanting to become police officers. So anything we can do, especially with our local population who might be interested in becoming a member of the Juvenile Police Department, we strongly encourage it and try to get that. The nice thing about it is that if you recruit within your community, they know what to expect. I mean, we live in a landlocked community where sometimes the weather can be very dreary and all the other different challenges. So trying to recruit locally is one of our main things that we try to do.
When you meet an individual who's thinking about joining the force, what are a few things you tell them? Do you tell them highlights from your career, things that you've enjoyed? Tell them about the challenges?
I'm very inquisitive asking them why they want to become a police officer initially and asking them questions about themselves and then go into and explain to them what they need to do to prepare themselves. A lot of times we'll have people who are not 21, because that's one of the requirements. You have to be 21 years of age to become a police officer. So we'll have these young gents or women come to us and ask us questions. So we try to prepare them early on so they can start thinking about what they need to prepare to test for police officers with the Juvenile Police Department. And, it goes without saying that you bring in your experiences in your career to be able to share those with them, talking about, like I said at the very beginning, the positives and the negatives of the job, so that they come in with their eyes wide open to the position, maybe what they might expect when they're out there.
Have you ever noticed a certain kind of individual that does well as a police officer?
You know, it's interesting you ask that. Somebody who just has general good common sense. Takes them a long ways. I mean, I've seen all varieties of different types of officers out there, but somebody who has good common sense and knows how to apply it, is a good problem solver, thinks things through, and is able to go out there and provide that service to the community. I find that just that alone sometimes goes a long ways.
Okay, so if somebody could start this process sort of informally this Wednesday at Heritage, right?
Sure, yeah. But, come on out. Talk with the officers if you're interested in being a police officer. I mean, we also have dispatch positions are always open within. So if you're not interested in becoming a police officer, there's other positions within the organizations. We currently have an evidence property position that is open. We have sometimes records divisions that are open. So there's a different variety of types of jobs if you want to come out and serve your community that you could do in, at the Juneau Police Department.
If somebody does want to be a police officer, what does the formal process look like? How do they start that, and how long will it take them to get on the streets, so to speak?
Well, the process is sometimes too long, but we have to go through a process to make sure we vet an individual, making sure they have the traits that we need for a police officer. But we go through a company called Public Safety Testing, and you could go online, publicsafetytesting.com, go online, and it'll walk you through on what you would need to do on your first stages of putting in your application and going through a testing process. We are going to start actually standing up local testing dates 4 times a year. We limited that within the last couple of years to 2 times a year, and what we were trying to do is keep it in line with the police academy over in Sitka. But what we're finding is that by doing that, it's limiting our ability to reach out to more people. So they will have an opportunity, if you're a local, to be able to come right to the Juneau Police Department and go through the testing process. If that's not the case, they go through public safety testing, and they'll walk them through. They'll have testing dates on different locations around the Northwest. If you're down in that area as well, you could test down there. So you basically go through a written test, and then you have a physical agility test. And we do it like a mini psychological exam called a suitability assessment exam and a personal history questionnaire exam. And that would get you through the first phase of the process. And then if you make it through that phase, you go into a background phase, kind of, where we bring you and invite you to the police department, and you go through a polygraph examination. You meet and greet with your background investigator, and they start a pretty extensive background on you to vet you and make sure that you are clear and meet all the requirements and standards to be a police officer.
If I may ask, what are a few things that might exclude somebody at that point?
A lot of times what I'm seeing is, any previous criminal activity. Now, timing is significant. I mean, if it's been 10 years and maybe you made some bad decisions in your life, we all make bad decisions. But if it's in the proximity of when you're applying, we're going to have to take a hard look at that. Drug use is another thing that we look at seriously as far as a timeline with that. I mean, we understand that police officers are not saints, that they're human beings. They go out there and they make mistakes. But we have to look at those type of things. Those are the type of things that usually eliminate a lot of people. And then, if there's any sort of family disputes or stuff like that, one of the things we have to consider is that we're certified in the state by the Alaska Police Standards Council. And they also have a criteria that we have to meet in order for them to qualify to be certified. And we usually, our hiring process is in sync on those requirements. So those are a few things that would eliminate a person from the process.
Okay. By any chance, do you know when your next testing of those 4 testings are going to be?
I don't have the specific day, but there's one coming up in December.
Okay.
So we have one more for this year, and then we'll have 4 scheduled for 2018.
And I bet somebody could find that date on your Facebook page or...
Exactly. We're putting all that information on there. Matter of fact, we're ramping up our recruitment efforts for, if you go out and have, watch a movie and eat some popcorn and watch a good movie, you're going to see our ads pop up there. And we're looking at, all the different alternative ways to reach out to all types of groups of individuals. I think we have to be more competitive, not only within our state, but around the nation, because right now police officers, firefighter positions are very tough to fulfill, and especially trying to keep up with attrition.
Sure. And we're getting a little bit low on time, but let's just say in a perfect world, somebody comes in December, mm-hmm. they test well, their background, and they start going through the process with you guys. Everything's going perfect for them. They pass all the tests. When might they have a job?
6 to 7 months later.
All right.
So, and that can be sometimes problematic for people, but that's pretty much the norm on when we run a process. They're done about 6 to 7 months, and they'll we're offering this individual a job.
Sure. And so they're probably going to be wanting to work somewhere else as they're going through the testing process.
In most cases, I think people will have to do that. But we try to keep them moving along so that they know they're making progress.
All right. Chief Mercer, it's been great talking to you today.
Good talking with you.
Is there anything we've missed or anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think I covered bases as far as it goes. I'm just excited. You know, this is a great police department, great community in which we live, and we just want to keep on going out there and serving the community.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Slept a wink. I walk the floor and watch the door, and in between I drink black coffee. Love's a hand-me-down broom. I'll never know a Sunday in this weekday room. I'm talking to the shadows, 1 o'clock to four, and Lord, how slow the moments go when all I do is pour black coffee. I'm hanging out on Monday, my Sunday dreams to dry. Now a man is born to go a-loving, a woman's born to eat.
You're listening to A Juno Afternoon on Monday, October 2nd, 6 minutes, 5 minutes until the top of the hour. And joining me in the studio now is Ashley Heimbigner. She's the development specialist here at KTOO. And we're talking about new member month. This is like started yesterday, right?
That's right. It's October, so it's new member month.
What is new member month?
It's a fun new project that we started this year as a way to kind of take time to reach out to those members of our community that we know listen to K2. They listen to KRNN, KXLL. They use us as a resource, but maybe haven't had the personal invitation to join the membership fold. So we've got lots of fun stuff going on, from red carpet concerts to fun special rewards, especially for new members. We've got a new program called New Member Fridays. Every Friday this month, there's going to be a new local business that has a special gift just for our new members. And then we've got a special mug just for our new members. No public radio member can really be official until you have a public radio donation mug sitting in your cupboard. So we've got a special new one just for that. Lots of stuff going on.
Yeah, lots of incentives to become a new member. Do you remember when you became a new member?
I totally do.
How did that feel? Why did you start supporting this?
Because, there's no denying that K2 and KXLL, especially those two stations, really are the backdrop of my life. You know, I'd get up in the morning, turn on the radio before I got in the shower. I listened to it on my way to work. I used it as a resource to share information about events around town. And honestly, some of the swag was pretty sweet, and I wanted some for myself.
Well, it sounds like there's a lot of new great stuff for our new members.
There is.
So we're not, like, doing 586-3636 yet or any of that stuff. If somebody is listening right now and they want to support this and become a member, how do they do that?
Head to our website. That's really the easiest way to do it. Go to ktoo.org and hit the donate button. There's more information there about all the sweet stuff that you get to take home with you as a new member this month. And then, of course, our membership form.
Okay. Ashley, is there anything we're missing or anything else you'd like to add?
I just say stay tuned. There's lots of stuff going on throughout the month, fun events, all the way through the end of October.
Ashley, thank you so much.
Thanks, Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Support for this KTOO programming is provided by Debbie White, District 2 candidate for City and Borough of Juneau Assembly in the municipal election October 3rd. Paid for by Debbie White. P.O. Box 210851, Auk Bay, Alaska, 99821.
Thank you for tuning in to a Juneau Afternoon. Shelley Delaney will be your host tomorrow. She'll talk about library activities, and we'll learn about heat pumps with guest Danielle Redmond. We'll discuss end-of-life issues with Dr. Jessica Zitter and Hal Geiger, and we'll talk with Zonta Kahini Middle School Assistant Principal Christy Germain about middle school activities, the soccer jamboree, and the cross-country meet. Looking at the weather here in the capital city, the forecast for tonight calls for a chance of rain in the evening, then rain late. Tomorrow, Tuesday, rain in the morning, then a chance of rain in the afternoon, highs around 50. And on Wednesday, cloudy with a chance of rain, highs around 50. Thanks for tuning in to a Juneau Afternoon.